Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Monday, April 27th, 2026, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we're reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 33, the third paragraph, to be gravely affected through one paragraph ending, but try and get them to see it. And we'll also include the asterisk at the bottom of the page, and we'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers, 12-step Mary P., 12 traditions Kate F., readers of the text Alex G. Will read the text, and Penny L. C. will read page 164 and be backup reader today. Our reference number for Sunday, April 26th, is 23,400. That's 23400. And for this morning, Monday, April 27th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 23,404. That's 23404. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Ann S.C.H., and Shelley E. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone providing service for this meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask Mary P. to please read the 12 steps of OA.
Thanks, Dawn. This is Mary P., and these are the 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for letting me be of service this month, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Mary P., and I'll now have Kate F. please read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous.
Thank you, Don. Good morning, everyone. Kate F., and here are our 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest the problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Kate F. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. We resume our study of the Big Book today, and we're on page 33, that third paragraph, to be gravely affected through one paragraph ending, but try and get them to see it. And we'll also include the asterisk at the bottom of the page. We'll be commenting on this one paragraph today. And I'll now ask Alice G. to please read and then share with us. Good morning, Alice.
Good morning, Dawn. Grateful to be here. Alice G., recovered compulsive overeater in Wisconsin. To be gravely affected, one does not necessarily have to drink a long time nor take the quantity some of us have. This is particularly true of women. Potential female alcoholics turn into the real thing and are gone beyond recall in a few years. Certain drinkers who would be greatly insulted if called alcoholics are astonished at their inability to stop. We who are familiar with the symptoms see large numbers of potential alcoholics among young people everywhere, but try to get them to see it. And then the asterisk at the bottom of the page. True when this book was first published, but a 2014 U.S.-Canada membership survey showed about 12% of AAs were 30 and under. Again, I'm Alice, compulsive overeater, recovered in Wisconsin. Gravely affected. We don't have to necessarily drink a long time or take the quantities. For me, I needed to look to identify in with this program. It didn't matter what another person ate or what another person weighed or what they didn't eat. or that they were bulimic or anorexic or 400 pounds or 89 pounds. What I needed when I came in here was a solution to my problem, and I was gravely affected. I wasn't huge. I was able to keep my weight down with exercise a lot. But the mental part of the disease was what was killing me and driving me to want to commit suicide. I know today I have an allergy of the body and an obsession of the mind as outlined in the doctor's opinion. And I had to fully concede to my innermost self that I belong in Overeaters Anonymous. They say the disease is aggressive and fatal. And while I knew when I was 24 years old, and I didn't get entirely abstinent until I was 56, I knew at 24 that my eating wasn't normal, that other people didn't eat like I did. But it progressed. It got worse. It got worse to the point of me having health problems, elevated cholesterol, gastroesophageal reflux disease, which I've talked about before, and the mental hatred that went on in my head round and round, to making me want to commit suicide. And here I found a solution. There is a solution to this problem. And it's about unity and surrender. The unity of you guys taking my hand and leading me to a solution. Once I was ready to surrender, but I had to surrender my ways, my thinking, my scheming, my, you know, trying that next new diet, trying that next new pill, trying that next new whatever came along, exercise program. I had to surrender and concede to my innermost self that I belong here and I'm sick. And I need somebody who's found a solution to take my hand and help me get on my knees and surrender to God, the God of my understanding or the God of my not understanding, so that I can live happy, joyous, and free. And am I happy all the time? Not necessarily. Life gets lifey sometimes, right? And is difficult. But I know I'm not alone in it. I know other people have trudged with me and are walking shoulder to shoulder with me. And I'm never alone. I'm just one phone call away from you guys. So thanks for all the service that goes into this meeting, and I will pass.
Thank you so much, Alice G. Lovely way to get us started today. And I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shared every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Lisa N.
Lisa N.
Donna B.
Donna B.
Manju O.
Paragraph, please.
Manju O.
Paragraph, please.
Sure. The paragraph is on page 33, that third paragraph, to be gravely affected through one paragraph ending, but try and get them to see it. All
Jason
right.
W.
Was that Jason W?
Yes.
Okay. All right, I've got Lisa N., Donna B., Manju O., and Jason W. Lisa N., please go ahead and get us started.
Okay, thank you so much, Dawn. Can you hear me okay? I hope so. Anyway, people have been saying my phone has been crackling lately, so I just thought I'd double check. Lisa N. from Wisconsin, a recovered compulsive overeater, very grateful to be here and to be recovered one day at a time, only by God's mercy. And that's the thing I never understood. I was pronounced actually, not a compulsive overeater, but I was pronounced by my boss when I was in my 20s working as a nurse, as someone with an eating disorder. And I was really insulted by that. And it was, I felt like there was truth in what she was saying, but I didn't want to face it. I didn't want somebody to tell me that I was. And I think that's, from what I hear, it's somewhat common of, and of course we're reading it too, it says that, you know, they don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear it. So try it more than once. Oh yeah. I tried compulsively eating in college and trying to stop, and that didn't work. And my brother's girlfriend was in OA, and she must have seen, I'm guessing she saw it, because why would anybody bring up that they were in OA just to bring it up? She said that she was in OA and how much she loved it, and how it, you know, she was just smiling, beaming. But the only thing is, she was very overweight. So, and so was I. I had my struggles with food. I'm sure she saw me eating and she could tell. Maybe not. I don't know. But I had people point it out to me. My mother daily practically talked to me about my weight and my eating. But I could not accept it. And I did not want to listen. And I have a family member who also struggles and does not want to hear it, does not want to accept it. And so I say nothing because, or very little, because I was brought, that was brought to my attention. I didn't like it. So why would anybody else? It's a timing thing. And so I have to sit back. I have to let people find God on their own or hear God's voice within them, directing them here. That's the best I can do. And then if they ask for help or seem to need help, I can offer it. But I can't make sure that they are recovered, and it isn't any of my business if they don't become recovered. So that's all I've got. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Oh, thank you, Lisa N. from Wisconsin, and we heard you just fantastically. All right, Donna B., it's your turn to share, followed by Manju O.
Hi, this is Donna B., spelled D-A-N-A, compulsive overeater, bulimic, and restrictor, calling from Denver, Colorado. And I think what I'm reflecting on this morning is this concept of being gravely affected. And, you know, just as the Big Book really emphasizes that we have the dignity to choose our own, the God of our own understanding, I think the Big Book also gives us the opportunity and the dignity to choose what being gravely affected means to us as individuals. It tells us that, like, I cannot pronounce another person as a compulsive overeater. Only an individual, him or herself, can make that pronouncement for themselves. You know, and this thing about does not necessarily have to drink a long time. I am pretty sure I was born with this disease, that I was born with the allergy of the body and the obsession of the mind. And so this idea of it not taking very long to develop in me is sort of funny, because I think I was born this way. Now, it certainly took me time to acknowledge that I had this disease and the extent to which this disease was taking over my life, the unmanageability, the insanity, and my resistance to turning my will and my life over to the care of a higher power. And today, I'm grateful to have found the solution. And in the gratitude of having found the solution, there is an implicit assumption that I have at least some gratitude for having this disease. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Donna B. from Colorado. Manju O., it's your turn to share, followed by Jason W., but quickly wanted to just let people know we're talking about page 33 today, that third paragraph, to be gravely affected through one paragraph ending, but try and get them to see it. We're commenting on this paragraph today, and after Manju and Jason share, I'll be taking some more names. So Manju, please share with us. Your 3 minutes starts now.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Manju O, a grateful recovering compulsive overeater in Georgia in the U.S. Manju spelled M-A-N-J-U. And it's so good to hear this paragraph. It had me really reflect on my entry into OA. I was 21 years old. I'm now 53. And I've been abstinent for 6 years. So that tells you the short version of my journey with recovering. At the same time, I related to that paragraph because when I first came in, it was mostly middle-aged women who were parents, middle-aged housewives, and I was a college undergrad who wasn't so sure I wanted to have a family and kids, and I just couldn't really relate to the circumstances, but I was awed by how much I related to everyone's food journey, eating journey, and it awed me. This was in a small city of Chapel Hill, North Carolina, and I was awed that there were 7 people that also had this issue. That was remarkable to me, that there were so many people that understood my eating, my relationship with food and struggles with food. And I'm also reflecting as I hear that paragraph on my niece, who the first time I saw her eat bread, I had identification. She was about 3 and ate an entire bread basket. And it just really struck me that this disease, this compulsion, starts very early compared to some other addictions, because we have access to our drug of choice from a very young age. And that means that, and so I'm grateful that I was able to find the rooms also at a relatively young age, and pray to be a power of example to my niece and other young people whom I meet when I say, oh, I haven't had sugar, even though my current abstinence is 6 years, I haven't had sugar for over 20 years. And they can maybe ask me, how did you do that? Or how does that happen? And just be, as best I can, a power of example, which is not always easy, especially with loved ones where I want to force them into OA, which has never, ever worked. So leaving things in God's hands always works a lot better. And with that, I will pass. Thanks.
Thank you so much, Manju O. from Georgia. Jason W., it's your turn to share, and then I'll be taking some more names. Good morning, Jason.
Great. So, good morning. Let me just confirm, can you hear me okay?
We sure can.
Not muffled? Okay, great. Yeah, I'm Jason. I'm definitely a recovered overeater, compulsive overeater. And this paragraph gives me a lot of hope, because I'm a comparer, and I'm going to compare. I haven't overeaten as much as you guys, all of you guys. I've heard your stories. I didn't weigh as much as you guys. And that's not the point at all. I've been gravely affected by this. And I've been clean, abstinent with food for now about, a little over 60 days, I guess. And this is my first time around coming into OA and into Vision for You. I'm so grateful for that, because I can see very clearly it was progressing within me. And I was getting worse and worse, had less and less ability to go from thought to action. I would think about eating, and I would start eating. And I can remember I'd be eating a whole bunch of food right before dinner, usually a bowl of cereal or two, and then time for dinner. I'm not really hungry, but, well, I better eat. So I would have dinner. I would feel sick. I'd have something else afterwards. And I know that if I compare, I just despair. I remember I was in a meeting of that AA many years ago, and I didn't have particularly low bottom. I would hear these people, their incredible war stories, and I thought, do I even belong here? And one time that happened in a meeting, and an intuitive voice came to me and told me to be grateful, be very grateful that I haven't had that particular kind of bottom. So I'm very grateful I haven't had to hit a terrible bottom here with my food, but I can see that it's coming. I can see that on my own power, I will go way past the 250 max that I hit and go into the 300s. It's entirely likely. And, you know, type 2 diabetes, all that good stuff just coming around the bend. So I'm really grateful. I have been gravely affected by this. And I think this is interesting. We are familiar with the symptoms, see large number of potential alcoholics, and just remove two words, potential overeaters everywhere. Try and get them to see it. And I don't think it's my job to get anybody to see anything. My job is just to see where I'm at and be honest with that and be abstinent and then take the steps and recover. Thanks for letting me share. Good to be here with y'all. Appreciate it, y'all.
Jason, would you like to let us know where you're calling from? Don't think we caught that.
Sorry. San Diego, California.
Oh, perfect. Thank you so much.
You bet. Thank you for your service. Yep.
Thank you. All right. Well, I'm going to now take a list of names of people who would like to share in this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your shared every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Julie M. in New York.
Was that Julie M. in New York?
Yes.
Toby M. in New Jersey.
Was that Toby S. in New Jersey?
Toby M. I'm like Mary.
Okay, perfect. New Jersey, very good.
Maggie A. Z, Illinois.
I heard Maggie A. And who else?
Deb Z, Illinois.
Deb
Lisa
Z,
W.
Illinois. Deb. Lisa W.
Lisa W. in Denver.
Okay.
Deborah G, Arizona.
Deborah G. Okay, excellent. I have Julie M., Toby M., Maggie A., Deb Z., Lisa W., Deborah G. Did I miss anybody? Okay, that's a beautiful lineup. Julie M., please go ahead, get us started, followed by Toby M., and your 3 minutes is starting now.
Thank you. Good morning. This is Julie. I'm from New York. Gratefully recovered just for today, one day at a time. I'm out on this beautiful hike and I'm listening to the meeting, which is always powerful to hear. I generally go to the 7 a.m., but today I was out and I'm like, no, I'll listen at 10 because I needed to be here. And so what I'm hearing is that this disease gravely affected me. And the way that it affected me was by eating compulsively and not knowing that I was doing that and over-exercising for so many years. And that was the way that I was able to mask my disease. Because although I wasn't overly, overly weight, but I could lose some weight. And this is how it happened, you know. And about 3 years ago, I came to A Vision for You after being desperate and just asking again, you know, after being an Overeaters Anonymous for 20 years, God, please help me, you know. And the thought was directed to go to the first telephone meeting, and it was A Vision for You. And I haven't had it I haven't had to leave. And the recovery on this line is just incredible. And the big book is the solution, one of the solutions, but the major solution for me was a spiritual experience, a spiritual awakening that only God can do for me, what I can't do for myself. And those are truths that today help me to stay abstinent. I also have family members that suffer from this disease, but I am not here to tell them what to do. And once I did, I paid the price, you know. And so today, the only thing I could do is model, continue to stay abstinent, and demonstrate that this program can work one day at a time. Thank you so much for allowing me to share, and everyone have a beautiful day.
Thank you, Julie M. from New York. Toby M., it's your turn, followed by Maggie A.
Hi, good morning. It's Toby M. from New Jersey. Thank you for your service. I came into the rooms about 17 years ago, and I heard all these stories, and every time I heard one, I said, wow, that's me. And then literally like 2 minutes later, I'd be like, no, I'm not a compulsive overeater. I just like food. I'm not like them really. And it was just that mental twist in my mind that just kept telling me, you're accomplished, you're competent, you're good, you don't need this, you're fine in all areas of your life. You just happen to like food, and that's why you're like 100 pounds overweight. And it took me a very, very long time of just keep coming back and keep listening until I said, you really have to surrender. This is not going to work for you. Don't just listen to these stories while you're gorging and binging at the same time. You are them. They are you. This is what you need, and it is the only solution. It says in the book, there is a solution, only one. And until I realized that, I just kept playing this game of just, you know, coming back and eating and then eating and coming back and being absent for 1 day or 3 months, but like never more than that, until I said, okay, this is it. You either do it all the way, you surrender completely. And I called a sponsor who I had heard through over the phone, and she had 10 years of abstinence, and I said, just tell me what you want me to do, and I completely surrendered, and since then, I've been abstinent one day at a time. So thank you for letting me share. Thank you for your service, and have a great day.
Thank you, Toby M. from New Jersey. Maggie A., it's your turn to share, followed by Deb Z., and please let us know where you're calling from, if you would.
Hello, this is Maggie A., from Massachusetts. What struck me about this paragraph is the very beginning, especially to be gravely affected, and I'm going to put my name in there. Maggie does not necessarily have to, you know, I don't have to be overweight or necessarily eat a whole cake. The details can be different as much as each of us is different. You know, it made me think, too, of our fingerprints. You know, aren't two people in this planet that have the same fingerprints. We're so, so unique. So, and I used to let, you know, as far as this, my belief in needing this program, because I would get off, I would be in the program, and then I would say, oh, I don't, you know, I can't relate to something, so I think it was just an excuse. I would, you know, half measures. I was doing half measures, but I knew I needed help. I knew I could not give up the sugar and flour on my own. I just could not do it. So I do have the twist of the mind, the allergy of the body, the cravings, and I'm just so grateful that, and I've heard people say this too, I'm grateful that this disease brought me to my knees, because if I didn't have the health problems that came up because of it, I wouldn't have realized how much of my mind it occupied and how much it was taking away the quality of my life. I'm so grateful. So I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Maggie A. from Massachusetts. Deb Z., it's your turn, followed by Lisa W.
Hi, this is Deb Z. from Illinois. Thank you for your service. And I'm going to claim my seat today because I haven't shared in a couple of weeks. And I missed the actual part of the meeting where you read, but I've kind of gotten the gist of what everyone's talking about. And so for me, I wouldn't hear what people were trying to tell me. You know, my mom was very conscious about what I was eating and every day coaching me and trying to get me to do this diet or that diet or whatever. And then my dad, only a couple times, he sat down and had like a serious talk with me about my health. And, you know, then over the years, doctors and different people, you know, approaching me about it. And then, you know, I was in such a denial and rationalization. Was just lying to myself because it was so painful for me to have these other people approaching me. And it hurt so bad that, you know, I had to finally make the decision to, you know, investigate, program myself. And I did, I think I came 3 times before I decided that, like when I was in high school, when I was after college, and then when I'm a full-grown adult working, I came. And so it was a period of years between each. And, you know, I finally said, okay, I feel like this is home for me. And then, and yet I still couldn't admit that I had an allergy of the body and an obsession of the mind. And I thought I was. I was like, yeah, that makes perfect sense to me. Yes, that's me. That's me. That's me. But I really wasn't. And I've been coming to meetings and trying to work the program for many, many years. And it's just been in the last few months that I finally had the realization that I just was never accepting it completely. And so I'm working with a sponsor, and I'm working through my 4-step, 5-step, on the 6th step and 7th step. And so the character defects are coming into play a lot. Like, I'm recognizing them, and I'm realizing that it may be the same process for me, that it may take me just as long for each one of my character defects to go by the wayside as it did for me to finally admit that I have the allergy and the obsession. And I want to push it. I want to force it. And
time.
But then I have to just say, no, this is for God's time. So with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Deb C. from Illinois. So we're on page 33 today, the third paragraph. To be gravely affected through one paragraph ending, but try and get them to see it. And so, Lisa W., it's your turn to share now for 3 minutes, followed by Deborah G., and then we might have a little more time for another share. Go ahead, Lisa.
Thank you, Lisa W. in Colorado. Feeling, I don't know if desperate's the right word, but maybe it should be. I have been so blessed. I'm sorry, I have a cat that's making noise. I've had, entire abstinence from the minute I started working with my last sponsor. It's been an incredible miracle to have food neutrality from coming to these meetings and working the 12 steps through the big book. And we're listening to podcasts from the special editions, and it's been incredible. And my sponsor wasn't able to work with me anymore, and so it's been about 2 weeks, and almost immediately I could feel the change in me. I thought maybe it was just the accountability, you know, she kind of pushed me to do more than I wanted to. And, but last night I was at potluck and the food thoughts just came back in, and I just did not have neutrality, and I had some old food behaviors and, some of my alcoholic behaviors. And while I said in the beginning, I want to feel desperate is that, you know, I had a long period of abstinence. Well, for me, about 3 years, it wasn't entirely abstinent. And when I would go off plan, it was pretty easy for me to go back on the next day, and I just didn't take it seriously. I did not realize, oh my God, my disease is rearing its head, and I need to, you know, I was just like, oh, this doesn't matter. Look at this. That was a bummer, but until, you know, I went into a really, really bad relapse. And so today I want to take these things really seriously. And I think it really helps that I've had such amazing food neutrality and freedom. So today I'm looking for a new sponsor from the vision meeting and, you know, want to surrender to the truth and then take this seriously and keep doing my disciplines, my daily 10 steps, my nightly, you know, I've dropped off on my nightly reviews. And so, yeah, writing down my food the night before and sending it out, I'm still doing that. But anyway, just here to be honest and transparent and to say to myself and remind myself, yeah, this is not okay.
Time.
It is not just a small bit. Thank you so much, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Lisa W. from Colorado. Deborah G., it's your turn to share with us, and then I'll take some more names.
Oh, thank you, Dawn, so much for your service and everyone that's made this meeting possible. And welcome, welcome to all the newcomers and returners. I'm so glad that you're here with us. And I'm Deborah G. from Arizona, compulsive overeater, anorexic. And I can relate to, you know, when I was younger, I was always compulsively overeating and binging on sugar. And then I was also exercising a lot. Now, I was very thin. I think some of it was I had fetal alcohol syndrome. But some of it was I rode my bike a lot. I swam a lot. Very hyper, high strung. And so I was thin. And so I never, ever even thought about anything about having a problem with food. You know, I just kept doing that for years and years and years, like it said, for a long time. You know, and I probably was taking a lot of large quantities and a lot of carbs, lots of sugars and everything, but yet would never see anything on my body about that. So kept justifying, rationalizing, and people would say, how can you eat so much and not gain any weight? And even as I got older, I did the same thing, you know, and that, like that was shared, that comparing. I never thought I had a problem because I kept comparing myself to people that were overweight. You know, it was just so such a distorted thinking, a disease, you know, delusional thinking about the reality of what was going on with me. And the anorexia, you know, I didn't realize what that was all about till I got older. And I got, you know, until I got older and checked in for treatment for alcoholism and then got assessed, and I was in the purple group because I had an eating disorder. You know, I didn't see it till then. And still, I was still questioning, you know, for years and years. And I would go through the motions, you know, of, you know, getting some kind of a help or going to meetings and even going to the steps, but never, ever got the reality and getting honest with myself and honest with others about what was happening with me until I came here. And I'm so grateful for that and found a solution and these beautiful 12 steps, you know, have a food plan, be accountable and connected with power because I have no power. To be honest, I have no power and to connect with power.
Time.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Deborah G. from Arizona. Well, we have time for one more share for 3 minutes if someone would like to take this, who hasn't shared in the last couple days.
Luann C.
Luann
Thomas.
C., go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Thanks, Don. And yeah, I'm Luann C., and I'm so grateful to be recovered in Boise, Idaho, and on this meeting where I just feel like I'm not alone. Yeah, this is an important paragraph for me. I am a 40-pounder, and what that means to me is I have an extra layer of fat lodged between my ears, and it talks to me, and it tells me, Luann, if we're all about honesty, let's be honest, it ain't that bad. And what I've come to realize is that perspective is only looking at the physical. So yes, I've lost all my weight. Yes, my pants fit great. I'm not binging. That is all true. But because this is a mental problem, the disease can't see itself. And I have a mental situation here, you know, dealing with life. And, you know, I come to these meetings to recognize and to remember that I start my day remembering that I have this mental twist. And now that the food's down and I'm not being harassed by the food problem, I can clearly see what the problem actually is. It's between my ears. And I can see that my mental issue is so entrenched that only a power greater than myself can release me from it. And when I'm with my higher power and I start my day with that attitude, my higher power lifts me above the turmoil and I have a way out. And I'm just so grateful to have a place that finally this thing works. You know, finally I have a way to live free from the mental turmoil and chaos that I lived with my whole life and was constantly trying to find a way to fix it. But this is the way that really worked for me. And today I can say I'm really grateful to be a compulsive eater. So anyway, thanks for letting me share. And I hope everybody has a great day. Thanks. I pass.
Thank you so much, Luann C. from Idaho. And thank you to everyone who shared, making this meeting just really, really special. And Tom L., I think I might have heard you chime in there. Please come back tomorrow. We would love to hear you share. And we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Penny L.C. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then. Star 1, Penny L.C. is, maybe she's having some difficulties there. May I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Yes, Dawn.
Okay, yes, very Dawn. Good, very good. Is Penny, is Michelle A.C. on the line? Could she take over on page 164?
Yeah, sorry, Don. I am here. This is Michelle A.C., gratefully recovered in Boulder, Colorado. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find, and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you travel the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.